So did you listen to the first reading from Job? And what do you think? Is it, and they ask you, was it something positive or something negative? Negative, right? So let me read you what Job says. Is not man's life on earth a drudgery? I've been assigned to months of misery, troubled nights filled with restlessness. Life is like the wind. I shall not see happiness again. Somebody get the man a tissue. Or it sounds like one of those like old like country songs. I'm just out here sitting on the porch. My wife left me. I'm lonely. I just have a bottle of 40 in my hand. Nobody loves me. Somebody play the violin. Right? Have you ever felt like that before? Have you ever felt like that? Job, who's innocent, goes through a lot of issues, a lot of suffering. And it leads us to the question of, why is there suffering? Why do people suffer? Or why do bad things happen to good people? Right? Well, first of all, you're assuming that you're good. But anyways, even assuming that you're good, why do bad things happen to people? Why? Do you have an answer? Why is there suffering? Why do people suffer? Right? Let me tell you, there is no answer. All right, I tried. I wrote like a 50-page paper on this. There's no logical explanation to why is there suffering. Because suffering is a part of life, right? I mean, let me ask you, is there anybody who has never suffered in their life? Whether you're 5, 6, or 70, 80, 90, is there anybody who has never? Raise your hand if you have never suffered in your life. You see anybody's hands go up? No. Because suffering is a part of life. Jesus suffered and died on the cross, right? But the more important question is not a logical, rational explanation of why is there suffering, but rather, how do we deal with suffering, with sadness, with disappointments? Because suffering is a part of life, and all of us experience it, but how do we respond to the suffering? Because many people who go through suffering end up being miserable, right? As a teacher, it's very hard. It's very hard for me at the school to give a bad grade. You know, last year I gave everyone all A's. And then the administration said, you know, Father Steve, you're a priest, but, you know, you can't give everybody A's. Oh, okay, all right. So you know, the last test, you know, one kid got a C, and you could see the face. Just, oh. Right? Or maybe you get rejected when you ask somebody out. Right? Or a lot of these elementary, junior high kids, they think they're so good. Like about in basketball, oh, I'm the best. You know, soccer, I'm the best. Right? And then they go to high school. They think they're the best. They go try out and they get cut. They can't even make the JV team. Right? Or you get a you're looking for a promotion at your work and they demote you, right? Or jealousy, problems, family issues, right? All these things, suffering is a part of life. And a lot of times it results in misery. People get depressed. They act out or kind of this passive aggressiveness or drugs or alcohol, even committing suicide, right? But as my good friend, Father Gene, would always tell me, Stephen, I want you to remember this. I was like, remember what? I want you to remember this, right? He says, suffering is inevitable. Like I said, suffering is a part of life, right? So he says, suffering is inevitable. Misery is a choice that you make, right? Suffering is inevitable. Misery is an option. It's a choice that you make. How do we deal with suffering in our lives? That's the more important question. St. Ignatius of Loyola, he talks about the concept of spiritual indifference. Have you ever heard of this concept? Spiritual indifference? When I say indifference, what comes to your mind? When I say indifference, what do you think of? whatever. Yeah, whatever, right? Let me explain to you. It's something like this. When you go to a person's house, they invite you for dinner, and then the host asks you, the guest, well, how was the meal? Oh, meal was so good. Thank you. It was excellent. And all right, can I serve you anything else? Would you like some coffee or would you like some tea? That's like a normal question, right? Would you like coffee or tea, right? How can you respond with spiritual indifference? Okay, here are some wrong responses, right? They ask you, would you like coffee or would you like tea? If you say, well, coffee with sugar and milk, right? That's not being indifferent. That's having a preference, right? I prefer coffee over tea, so get me coffee, right? Well, okay. How about, well, would you like coffee? Would you like tea? And you say, well, I'm indifferent. Coffee or tea, it's all liquid to me. You know, I don't really care. Bring me whatever. I like them equally. I dislike them equally. It doesn't really matter. Surprise me. All right? This is passive indifference. This is not what I'm looking for. This is not what St. Ignatius is talking about. St. Ignatius is talking about if we say, okay, nice meal. Would you like some coffee? Would you like tea? This is spiritual indifference. The response would be, I am willing. I am actively willing to take any, either coffee or either tea. I want what is more convenient to the host. You see the difference? You see the difference between that? Whatever, indifferent. No, I am willing to take any, either coffee or either tea. I want what is more convenient to the host. One is passive, the other is very active. You're actively being spiritually indifferent. Doesn't matter, suffering, good times. You are actively spiritually indifferent, willing to take anything, whatever is more convenient to God. Whether it's rich, poor, sickness, health, good, bad, success, failure, you're loved, ignored, popular, unknown, live long, die soon, right? Job was headed towards the path of misery, but he responds later on, we accept good things from God, should we not accept evil as well? Right? Actively turning over our own desires to God and saying, whatever happens, I am actively accepting it as long as it glorifies God. Simon's mother-in-law, what was going on with Simon's mother-in-law in the gospel today? She's sick. She had a fever, right? Well, whether she was sick or healthy, she was determined to wait on the Lord. She was determined to serve Jesus. Because usually when you recover from a sickness or like a virus or a fever, flu, then let's say you're like, oh, all right, I think I'm about 90, 95%. What do? You're very careful, right? Well, I don't want to relapse, right? Honey, or can you give me a glass of water? Yeah, I'm still recovering here, all right? You know, or, oh, hey, my love, you're going to cook, right? Because I'm still recovering. Right? Well, what happened here? As soon as the fever left her, what did she do? She got up and waited on the Lord. Waited on Jesus. Doesn't matter. Sickness or in health. Right? Or what do you think Jesus was doing in the gospel? What was Jesus doing in the gospel today? He was healing and all this. But what did he do early in the morning? What did he do early in the morning? He went off to a deserted place and prayed. And I would imagine he was practicing spiritual indifference, right? Turning over all his desires to God the Father. Right? Doesn't matter if I heal one person or if I heal 1,000 people. Doesn't matter if I have 0 followers or a gazillion followers, right? Doesn't matter if people like me or people want to kill me, right? Help me to do my Father's will actively, spiritually indifferent. And when you are able to practice active spiritual indifference, you will not be asking, why do people suffer? Why do bad things happen to good people? Instead of being moody or in the path of misery, you will be liberated. Right? Doesn't matter what situation, you are willing to take either coffee, either tea, lemon or lemonade, whatever is more convenient to God. And ultimately, this is what brings us fulfillment and happiness. I know a family guy. His name is Juan. Juan is married. And as far as I know, he has one wife. Okay? Juan is married. And he has three kids, two sons, and a daughter. They're all in elementary, junior high. And he lost his job. He lost his job. So if you were to help Juan, how can Juan practice spiritual indifference? What would that look like for Juan? What would that look like? Juan practicing spiritual indifference, who just lost his job, and he has a family, and his wife doesn't work. Well, you know, that what it's not like, okay, whatever, God help me. No, you got to be active in some. You got to take some initiative. You got to knock on the door. You got to apply, right? You got to get your name out there. You got to do your part. But at the same time, it's that, you know, I'm willing to accept either coffee or tea, whatever is more convenient to the host. I am willing to accept work or no work, whatever is more convenient to God, right? If I have work, thanks be to God. Now I can provide for my family. Now I can pay the bills. Now we can have food, right? No work, right? A path of misery will be, oh, life sucks and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Nobody loves me, da-da-da. I'm going to play that country song, right? And right? Well, no work, okay? Spiritual indifference looks a lot like, okay, I'm willing to accept that. Not that I'm not trying. I'm trying my best, but I'm willing to accept that. And how can I glorify God? Whatever is more convenient to God. Maybe we cannot live in San Jose. Maybe we'll move down to Gilroy. Maybe we'll move to Los Baños. You know. Maybe we'll live in Chapala con Vicente Fernandez. You know. So it's possible, right? But whether he has a job or doesn't have a job, he can either, both cases, be spiritually indifferent. Or let's take a look at our parish here. You know, as you know, our pastor, Father Kevin, he's retiring, right, in June, right? So what's next? What's next? I don't know. Maybe you know something. We don't know, right? But both Father Kevin and I, we're trying to practice this concept of spiritual indifference. Lord, please provide for the people at St. Lucie, for you, the best priest that you want, right? And I myself personally am trying to practice that spiritual indifference where I am willing to accept either coffee or either tea, you know? I will gladly, willingly accept a new priest, a new pastor, right? I will gladly, willingly accept to be the pastor, accept a welcoming assistant, or I will gladly accept being removed or being assigned to another parish, right? To practice spiritual indifference, whatever is more pleasing to the host, to the greater glory of God, right? So that is the buzzword. That is the vocabulary. That is the concept of prayer that I ask you to pray this week, to practice spiritual what? Indifference. What are some sufferings that I'm going through? Because according to what I saw, nobody raised their hand in terms of everybody has gone through some kind of suffering or is going through it right now. What are some sufferings that I'm going through? And am I headed towards the path of misery? Or am I headed path towards of spiritual indifference? And how can I actively practice, pray for spiritual indifference? Gladly, willingly accept coffee or tea. Practice spiritual indifference. Whatever is more pleasing to the host, to the greater glory of God. Okay? That's what I ask you to do for homework. And also talking about spiritual indifference, I'm also trying to be spiritually indifferent to our ADA, our annual diocesan appeal. And we will gladly, willingly accept anything that you give us. And to help us to be motivated with that, I'd like to invite Christina Guro. She's going to share with us of how she has benefited from your contribution to the ADA.